Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of the From Pain to Power podcast. I hope you're all keeping really well. And yeah, this is going out in a few weeks. So it's St. Patrick's Day and I'm recording this. I know it's bank holiday, but I like to do work on the bank holidays sometimes. But yeah, I have decided to do an episode on something that might seem completely unrelated to my work, which is all about obviously the menstrual cycle, chronic pain and trauma. And I'm going to talk about my relationship with driving because I have a lot to say on that and it all links back to the work I do. Before I go into that, I just want to let you know that I am currently hiring for a small role in my business. I'm looking to hire a virtual assistant to help me with the daily upkeep of my work and my online programs. And so if you are someone who's interested in working with me, if you have good tech skills, if you're organized and you're looking for something like that, or if you know anyone who that might suit, then please do head over to the link in the show notes where you can download the job spec and have a read through the job and send in your application to me. And I'm taking applications for, I think, another week or so, maybe 2 weeks by the time this gets published. And yeah, so that's some exciting news. What else? Yeah. And then I have a little bit of space for one-to-one coaching as well. So if anyone is interested in that too. And just to remind you also that I have a limited number of support grants for anyone who needs some financial assistance with one-to-one coaching with me. And those are on a sliding scale basis. So have a read through my website. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes and you get to decide what is appropriate based on your needs to access work with me. So yeah, let's get into this conversation. I'm a little bit nervous about this conversation because it is a bit more on the personal side. But yeah, I've been thinking about this for a while and it's something that why am I doing an episode on my relationship with driving? Why? So it is very linked to the nervous system and I have done a lot of work on the nervous system and I've spoken about the nervous system a lot and trauma. So we're going to be having a conversation about trauma today. So we're talking about the body, the nervous system. We're also talking about navigating systems and cultures that we can't control. And I think that driving exists in a country. There's rules, there's regulations, there's ways people do things, there's the culture on the road and that changes from country to country. Like if you drive in Ireland, it's a very different experience to driving in Rome or Greece or any other country. Or, you know, I've once driven in Amsterdam for like literally 5 minutes because my dad was encouraging me to learn how to drive his car on the other side of the road. And I think I might have driven in Italy before on holidays years ago, but I haven't really driven on the right side of the road. Here in Ireland, we drive on the left. And yeah, that's just what I'm used to. So anyway, going back to my point is that it's all about navigating systems and cultures that we can't control. And then our relationship. So that's why this title is called Our Relationship with Driving, is because that all very much mirrors how I work with people and also how I teach people to work with people. Because in my professional training, I teach people to have these skills when they're working with people. So it's supporting people with their relationship with pain. And supporting people with living menstrual cycle awareness and having menstrual cycle awareness in their life while also navigating linear systems that we can't avoid, right? And also like navigating the medical system. We can't completely reject the medical system, even if people get completely traumatized by it and neglected by it. I personally don't think, and professionally don't think, it's helpful to completely reject it. So that's why this has been on my mind a good bit. A few months ago, I had a whole therapy session with my therapist about my relationship with driving. And it was funny because I remember at the time, I didn't really have anything I had my monthly like appointment booked with her, and I didn't really have anything in particular that I wanted to discuss with her. There was like no problems in my life that particular week. But there was this piece around driving that was bothering me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to bring in driving into the therapy room. And I never thought to do that before. And I'm so glad I did, because it was such an interesting conversation. I got so much out of it. I think about it all the time still. And yeah, I'd love to share with you what I have been journeying in my own personal process with my relationship with driving. So I think I was 18. I actually started driving when I was 17. I learned how to drive when I was 17. Then I got my license when I was 18. And the reason I learned to drive, well, I think that's quite young, 17. The reason I learned to drive so young was because I grew up in a region where there wasn't a lot of access to public transport, and my parents were working full time, and my dad, you know, I have three siblings, and he wanted us to be independent in terms of transport, and I think they didn't want to be driving us to train stations and bus stops constantly. So my dad was always very encouraging for us to get our license early, and so that was like the history. And so I remember, like, when I first started learning to drive, I was in school, and I remember going into school one day, and I'd had a driving lesson with the local driving instructor, and one of my other friends was also learning to drive. And I said to her, it's like, I don't think I'm ever going to learn how to drive. It's so hard. I'm going to be one of those people that just never drives, and it's going to be fine. Because I was like finding it really hard. I found that the hill starts really hard, the gears getting, you know, not stalling. There was just so many things going on. And I just remember feeling like really overwhelmed and having to remember all these things and then like know what's happening inside the car and also be aware of what's happening outside the car. And like at the time, as a 17-year-old, not really knowing anything about driving. And also I was in a very high pressure like point in my life, you know, navigating being a teenager, being in school, all this sports pressure we had in school, and a lot of pressure, academic pressure as well. It was a lot. But that part of the learning how to drive experience didn't go on, obviously, because I'm a very comfortable driver now. But when I got my license, I remember just feeling like a little hopeless at the start and very scared. But yeah, I was learning how to drive in my school uniform. And then I did my driving test, and I was so nervous for that. I remember my mom even giving me breathing exercises to do back in the day, which were really helpful. And I passed my driving test. What happened was, it was during a school day. So I had to leave school and drive down to a town, which was about a 40-minute drive from where my school was, and take the test there in that town, Wicklow Town it's called. And so what I did was, because I thought I looked young, being a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old girl, I wanted to look older, as they do. And I took my uniform off and put makeup on and went down like quote unquote normal adult and did my driving test in normal clothes, even though I probably really still looked really young. And so I did my driving test, and then I surprisingly passed it. But it was one of those passes where I, like, even the instructor was kind of like, yeah, you just about passed. Like, if you'd gotten one more like mark on it, you would have failed. And some of the maneuvers, I remember there was one maneuver that the actual maneuver I failed. You had to like reverse around a corner, and this particular corner was like a really sharp corner. It kind of went in on itself, and then it was on a hill as well. And I remember reversing around that corner, and then like the car went over the line in the middle of the road. But I didn't fail the test, because they said that I did it really safely. And that was the most important thing, that I was like always checking in my mirrors, and they were really happy with how safely I drove. But the actual like maneuver, the maneuvering and, you know, that kind of more technical side, I wasn't great at, obviously, at the start. So I passed it, but I passed with this feeling of like, oh, you just about passed. And then I remember driving to school, back to school to finish my classes. And I went into the hall, and one of the teachers, my French teacher, saw me with my jeans on, and she gave out to me. She told me off and said, put your uniform back on. And then I was like, sorry, I just passed my driving test. And then she was apologetic, but it was just a funny memory. And I love how that stayed with me. And then she told the French class, and they all applauded when I walked in the room. Anyway, so that's a little bit about my history with driving. You know, I was very young, and didn't really know what I was doing, a lot of fear. And anyway, it all worked out fine. And yeah, I've been driving ever since. And anyway, so fast forward a long way into 2020. And I wasn't driving, but something happened. Okay, something happened. Something not nice happened that didn't involve me, but I was witness to. And I witnessed a very tragic fatal road accident in Dublin in the summer of 2020 when we were out of lockdown with someone who I was with at the time. And it really shook me up. And it was very traumatic. And it was like this accident happened involving, I don't even want to go into the details, but it involved a pedestrian. And we kind of got involved and he had to give a statement to the police. And yeah, it just was a really, really, really unfortunate, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. And it was supposed to be like a lovely day. It was in a kind of a residential suburban kind of area in North Dublin. And it was a Saturday. And yeah, it was just really, really, really sad. So I left really impacted by that. And like I said, even though I wasn't in a vehicle at the time, I was just a passerby as a pedestrian, I witnessed something really, really tragic and very gruesome as well. So that had quite a big impact on me. And then not long after that, I also had an incident where I just got myself into a bit of a stupid situation walking in a kind of a country place in Ireland. I was staying at an Airbnb and the host was sort of recommending different walks and I trusted her, and yeah, ended up having to abandon that particular walk because I could see how dangerous it was and I felt really at risk on that particular road. So anyway, so those two things combined, unfortunately, have really impacted my relationship with driving, hence bringing it to therapy. And around that time, I think it was then 2021, I then went to a place called West Cork here in Ireland, which is a good 5-hour drive from Dublin. And I was going by myself, and that's the reason I came back to the therapy room. And I was like, I really need to talk about this, because I was just really like stressed, not really stressed, but very like cautious and kind of nervous in the car and edgy. And then there was, and I'll get into this in a minute, there was a piece that was happening on the roads around the culture in Ireland at that time that was impacting me. And so, yeah, so it's just been a kind of an unfortunate, I guess, traumatic impact on me that I've had to work through. And some of the ways that those traumas impact me in my relationship with driving is that I can get quite, I'm usually very comfortable and like I'm a very safe driver and I usually don't think about things. If I feel in any way under pressure on the road, or if I feel like I have to rush somewhere, or if I'm driving somewhere new, or if there is any kind of road rage, even a teeny tiny little bit of it or whatever, someone even just honks at me, I can get quite tense and I can sometimes have intrusive thoughts and things like that. And yeah, I just my relationship with driving has just unfortunately been really impacted by these events. But most of the time it's fine. It's just sometimes these things can happen. Okay. Anyway, so the reason I want to say that is because I then, when I brought my relationship with driving into therapy room, the main thing, it wasn't so much the trauma piece that I needed to work through, because I actually had done trauma work around that. I'd done somatic trauma work on that piece. And I don't really think about it or talk about it much anymore. But the piece that was still affecting me was this thing around, I think, and it'd be really interesting to hear what other people think about this. I think, and I know there's people in Ireland listening to this, and I know there's people abroad, so I'd love to hear from you what your experience is in your country. But I think since the pandemic, there's a lot of crazy on the road. There's a lot of people who are really impatient. There's just this frantic energy, more so than ever before, on the roads. Kind of, it feels a little bit like, this has never happened, please God, it doesn't, like trolling. Like imagine, feels a little bit like, you know, if you're in a vehicle, you're in this metal box and it's very easy to dehumanize you because you can't see your face. And so people are just, to put it bluntly, just treating people like shit on the roads and putting pressure on people and bullying, and there's a lot of impatience and speeding and just crazy things that happen. And so I feel that, like, if I am driving somewhere like to West Cork and I'm taking my time, I really struggle when someone is like right up my back. And actually, now that I think about it, I had another incident in 2021 when I was down in Wexford where I made a very minor error on the road and it annoyed somebody. And that person actually, this is really horrible, that person actually followed me. And it was, I was by myself and it was dark and I didn't realize they were following me until I did realize it. And I drove then to the supermarket and they followed me around the car park and I had to leave and then I had to call the police. And it was just a really shit experience. So those three things really, really impacted, obviously, my relationship with driving. So anyway, what I want to say is back in that therapy room, we were having a conversation about that and she was sort of asking me questions about like, how do I relate to myself when I feel like I'm in this system that is like putting pressure on me, or when I feel like someone's bullying me, or, you know, that kind of crazy energy is like coming towards me. And so that's what I've been thinking about a lot, is like, how do I be in relationship with driving? How do I want to feel when I'm driving? How can I look after myself when I'm driving? And what it made me realize, and I thought this was so interesting, and this is the reason why I told you about my history with driving, was that I've walked around with this feeling and this belief that I just about passed my driving test and I'm therefore just allowed to be on the road, and, you know, I'm not really supposed to be here, and like, I'm probably going to make loads of mistakes, and be careful because everyone's out to get you. So that's kind of like a little bit of a belief and a feeling I've carried around all my life, this sort of like almost lack of entitlement and probably imposter syndrome. And, you know, just remember that feeling of like, oh, here's your driving certificate, but had you made one more mistake, you would have failed, you know. So, and I realized in that therapy session, I was like, oh my God, I think I've been carrying this around all my life. You know, I've always felt really on edge and I give in to pressure. And I do, like, if someone does something to me on the road, I blame myself, you know. So, or I really internalize the pressure. So that was really interesting. And then we talked about it and I was like, actually, I know I learned how to drive at a young age, but like, I'm well entitled to drive. I'm very good at driving. I'm a very safe driver. I'm super aware. I never speed. I don't have any points on my license or anything else like that. I'm really careful. I'm really conscious of like, we're dealing with humans and people and children and animals. And yeah, so that was really interesting to kind of reclaim that, like, I really am allowed to be on the road. So that has been a really eye-opening thing for me about how we can, something from our past can really stay with us and shape our relationship with that thing going forward, and how we carry beliefs and feelings and narratives around that, you know. So that was really, really, it was just so interesting for me to talk. And I remember my therapist being like, no, Lisa, you are a good driver. You're perfectly entitled to be on the road. No one's a perfect driver. You're safe. You know, you passed your test at 17. You're obviously a good driver, or 18. So when there is a situation like that, like a systemic thing, a cultural thing, something we, you know, we have to engage in, like, I can't not drive. Well, I can, but I choose not to. So like, it's part of society, right? Driving a car. And so how do I look after myself when there is this culture that isn't forgiving and that isn't patient? And like, I'm now in a place called Greystones, which is in County Wicklow, and you can drive around and it's no problem. And you can, like, the other day I stopped outside the DART station, the train station, to drop my sister off. She was catching a train and it's no problem. No one is going to flash me or honk at me. But if I was to do that in Dublin, you would get honked at and flashed at and all of that. Like, and I know it's a city, it's different, and you can't have people doing that. There's just a lot more impatience in Dublin. And it really saddens me. I really, really do think my experience has been is that there's just some really, really horrible behavior. And what really upsets me is that there's so much talk in this country about mental health and minding each other and all that, but then people treat each other like shit on the roads. And for someone like me, I don't know, I'm talking about my own personal experience, but I know this has happened to so many people. I carry trauma, three different types of trauma from road related things. Thankfully, I wasn't physically personally impacted, but I carry stuff in my body when I'm driving that I'm navigating. And that's really hard for me. And I just think it's horrible that people think that they can just put pressure on you and not really consider what other people are going through in their day. Even if I wasn't having trauma, you know, you just don't know what people are going through. And on the roads, you're dealing with people who are navigating life. And you have to be so careful with that. You know, people are trying to stay safe, and we need to be in good headspace as well when we're driving, and we need to feel safe on the road when we're driving. And we can only do that when we treat each other with respect and give each other space and time. So that's my little, my rant, because yeah, I think it's an important thing to think about, is to really remember that there's humans behind the wheel, and to be not acting from a place of any kind of road rage. So that brings me to the question of, like, how do I look after myself? So I now ruthlessly take my time. I watch those thoughts that float around, give myself permission to put music on, or sometimes I just like to drive in silence. I keep a lot of distance as well, particularly on like motorways. Like if someone is driving really close behind me and I can, like, you know, see their face, it's far too close. I like to give a lot of space. I think they say like two cars distance on the fast roads. I let people pass me out. I don't spend, this is a recent decision, I kind of don't even bother with the overtaking lane anymore unless there's someone merging onto the motorway. I just kind of cruise along and I watch my nervous system, because I know even if I am on a road where the speed limit is, in Ireland we have kilometers, so where the speed limit is 120, very often I'm just driving at 100 or a little bit over, because I know when I'm driving up on the speed limit of 120, which is the max like on the roads here in Ireland, I get a little nervous, and I don't want to feel nervous when I'm driving. I feel much safer when I'm feeling comfortable. So I don't put any pressure on myself. And even if I am in a rush somewhere, if you drive faster, you're only going to get there a couple of minutes before, you know, the person ahead of you. So yeah, so there are my thoughts on my relationship with driving. And I hope that was interesting and helpful. But I'd love for you to, like, I'm sure a lot of you are totally fine in your relationship with driving, but thinking about this sort of from a theme point of view. So like to think about something that you can't avoid, that part of life or part of society that we have to engage in, that you might have difficulty with, or that does have an impact on your nervous system. And there's so many different things, like it could be the workplace or family or something to do with culture, or like I've said many times, like the medical system. How do we navigate our relationship with ourselves in those systems, and how do we navigate our relationship with the system, and how do we, really importantly, how do we mind ourselves, how do we speak to ourselves, and how do we reject any kind of unnecessary pressures? So when I don't allow people to bully me and just do my own thing, and, you know, obviously I like look in my mirrors a lot and I'm aware of who's behind me, sometimes I do have to like slow down or pull in and just let whoever needs to overtake me just so I can get rid of them. But I really try to like not internalize that crazy pressure people are putting on me, and that is just their shit, you know? So yeah, so really minding yourself and just like putting that, like rejecting any kind of energy that doesn't belong to you and putting it back on them, imagining a mirror around you and just letting it bounce off you. So yeah, I'd love to hear what it's like in your countries as well, with what the culture is like with driving, and particularly since the pandemic. So yeah, keep me posted on that one. And thank you for listening. And I really appreciate you listening to my personal story. I've always got a personal process going on in the background, and don't always share while I'm in it, because I'm in it. But I like to share afterwards and use them as little lessons of creativity and inspiration. So yeah, do send me an email, lisa@lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And if anyone is interested in working with me, either for yourself or if you are interested in training professionally with me, yeah, you can check out all my work. And I also have as well, I forgot to say, a support group, which is called Community Practice Group, for any menstrual cycle coaches or people who are facilitating any kind of work for women or people with menstrual cycles. And it's a bit like a group where we go to get support for ourselves, for our business, for our practice. You can bring your client cases, and we as a group will navigate the unfolding journey of, yeah, just staying in integrity in our professional practice. So this group is starting on the 19th of May, and I will put that link in the show notes as well. It's a 6-month long journey, and I've done it before with other groups. It's a lovely, lovely container and well worth it. I really am a huge believer in support, and it really, really benefits your work, your personal work, your creativity, your professional work. Anyway, that's it from me, and have a lovely rest of your week, and I will speak to you soon. Bye. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.